sometimes it goes, you know, unsaid of how much we appreciate the family here at Northwest. But we appreciate our family for showing up, and especially a joy this morning to see Sister Stone back over in her seat again this morning. We thank God for blessing her to be able to be with us today. And we want to encourage the church to keep all of our members who have been experiencing sickness and illnesses and those that are in the hospital now, keep them in your prayers. And remember to pray on their behalf. We're honored to be able to stand before you again this morning. And before I get into the lesson, I would just like to ask also, if you are visiting with us and this is your first time, we would ask that you would fill out a visitor's card and then give it to someone or pass it to the center of the aisle at the appropriate time, you know, that it may be collected, that we can recognize you at the appropriate time, and also just have a record of your visit here with us. So if you wouldn't mind, would you take just a few moments and fill out a visitor's card for us? Once again, it's our pleasure to be able to stand before you and to speak to you again from God's word, with the hope and the intent that God's word would encourage us all and build our faith to the point that we can be assured of being sealed that day, that we can be assured of that home in heaven. So we pray that that the word of God would induce the kind of spirit in us that is pleasing in the eyesight of God, and that upon his return, he will find all of us faithful to him. You know, it's just a good thing to worship God. And in our little young new convert class, we've been talking about, and especially today, we've been talking about backsliding and staying with God, you know. And Miss Bailey asked me, she said, what does backsliding mean? You know, what is backsliding? I said, it's just like you driving a car down the road, and then all of a sudden you just stop and put it in reverse and start bagging up, going in the exact opposite direction that you've been going in. You know, that's not a good thing if you're out there on the park where you just stop in the middle of the road and put your car in reverse and start bagging up. Some danger in doing that. So it is when we're talking about God. We don't want to be called backsliding. We want to keep going forward, pressing on toward the mark. You know, we want to go forward with God, so we don't want to be caught backsliding. So I appreciated her asking that question, you know. This morning, I want to talk to you from this subject, the will of God. The will of God. I want to try to help us understand or get a better idea about just what the will of God is. Because so many times I believe that a lot of us take the will of God for granted, and we fail to realize what's all involved or how the will of God works in our lives. So I want us to just spend a few moments this morning talking about the will of God, because we need to know God. We need to know what his will is for us in our lives. So it's a good thing to know God, because God is the one. You know, it's not about us, it's about God. You know, sometimes, you know, we get our big positions on our jobs and, you know, we get a little money in the bank, and then we begin to think it's about us. It's about me. But it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about God. God is the one. So we want to spend a few moments talking about the will of God. And we want to use this story about Samson to help us see and understand a little more better about what the will of God is. And when we're talking about this story of Samson, it is here because of these circumstances that Samson went through, that we find Samson himself beginning to understand somewhat and to recognize somehow, or to come to some kind of sense of just who he is. You know, he was a very young man who had not determined what his destiny was. He had been living his life based on his passions alone. But it is because of his passions, both good and bad, that would help him realize his purpose. He was not like a Samuel who found his purpose in the house of God. He doesn't express a spiritual connection to God like an Abraham or an Elijah. He didn't do as Paul did, hang every word upon the word of God. Yet, he was a predestined individual who would serve a great purpose in the will of God. He was a Hebrew boy, born at a time when the Philistines had captured the Hebrew people and had seized their property as well. They were under the authority of the Philistine government. And this boy, when he became of age, this boy at this time had chosen a woman to be his wife. But he didn't just choose a woman. It was a woman of the Philistines, the very people who had to rule over them. And he shared this passion of his with his family about this Philistine woman that he had fallen in love with. He shared this passion and this desire of his to his parents. And as you might imagine, they were less than happy about it. So they asked him, out of all the women of the house of Israel, all of those women that you could have, out of all those women, why did you go and fall in love with a Philistine woman? Because that complicated the thing. It complicated everything. But when you know it, as if life isn't complicated enough, how many of you have been dealing with something really tough in your life? Really dealing with it. And then here comes your child and hands you something that just makes you want to throw your hands up in the air. Life is tough. Life can be complicated. I believe, though, that if we really knew what people were really going through and having to deal with, strong over here, weak over there. Overcoming something over here, but failing in something over there. Smart about something over here, but totally ignorant about something over there. Up over here over something, completely down about something over there. Feeling good about something over here, really struggling with something over there. I believe that if we as a people, as we as the children of God, would take just a few more minutes and pay attention to someone else's life, we would be just a little more compassionate, a little more understanding, a little more willing to help other people when they're going through some of the things and some of the changes that are happening in their lives. We've become a people that are too zeroed in on our own selves and failing to realize and see the things and see the struggles that other people are having to go through in their lives. I believe that if we take just a little more moment, we'll become a little more compassionate about the lives of other people and what they're having to deal with. So Samson has fallen in love with this Philistine woman, a woman of the people who are oppressing them, and he wants his parents to feel good about it. His parents are confused. But listen to what the Bible says in Judges chapter 14 and verse number 4. Listen to what the Bible says. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. You know, I get it. Them having concerns over their son falling in love with this Philistine woman, this woman of the people that oppressed them. I get that. I get that it made their lives a little more complicated. I get that. But when I read this verse, and when I read that verse, I took kind of a different stance. You see, when I think about me, you will not be able to find not one prejudice bone in my body. Not one. There is no racism at all in me. None. You won't find it. I do not judge people by their race, their creed, or their color. And so when I read this verse, that the father and the mother knew not that it was of the Lord, I kind of got a little upset with the parents. You know, I kind of thought that, you know, the parents need to just get you a life. Let him love who he want to love. Let him marry who he want to marry. Get yourself a life. And especially since God thought enough of it to put it in the Bible that it was of the Lord. And I thought, and I always do think, that if it's of the Lord, it works. If it's of the Lord, it's going to work. How can something be of God and fail? How can something be of God and does not work? Have you ever done something that you was totally convinced about doing it? Totally convinced yourself that it was the will of God. And you even went and got your Bible and you know, like some folks say, I got the Bible and I just flipped it over and pointed to a scripture. And when you looked at that scripture and read that scripture, it just validated for you that this got to be of the Lord. And so you went ahead and you did that thing. And as soon as you did that thing, nothing else went right. And you said, God, I thought that this was you. I thought that job that I took was you. I thought that marriage was you. I thought that friendship was you. So how can something be in the will of God and still go wrong? The will of God was not sent here to please you. The will of God was not sent here to fulfill you. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 34 and 35 says this. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Jesus is not saying that he came here to sow discord. But what he is saying that he came here to bring the sword, to bring the word, to bring the truth. And that the truth itself would stand smack dab in the middle of truth and falsehood. And some will believe it and some will not. So by that accord, you're going to separate people. You're going to separate mother from daughter. You're going to separate daughter-in-law from mother-in-law. That's what the word of God does. It brings the truth of the matter. And if you're not willing to accept the truth, then you're going to be on the other side of things. The will of God is sent to take you to the place where God wants you to be. If you thought that the will of God was a contract with you to keep you out of trouble, then you were wrong. It was not a contract to you to keep you out of trouble. The will of God led Jesus out in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The will of God sent Jesus to the cross. The will of God has its place and is not according to what you see that it ought to do. Will of God caused Job to lose his entire family and his workers and his cattle and his health. The will of God is not sent here to please you. The will of God is sent here to accomplish the will of God. The Bible says that his parents knew not that it was the will of God. Now, I'm assuming that you know the story of Samson. And that this woman caused all kinds of havoc in Samson's life. But she served to show the beginning of his greatest strength. But also his greatest weakness. He could have chosen any woman in Israel, yet he chose this Philistine. Psalms chapter 37 and verse 23 had this to say. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. When a good man's step are ordered by the Lord, it's just not his good steps, but his bad steps too. When he runs from what he perceives to be the will of God, he's still in the will of God. Let me show you what I mean. You remember Jonah? How the word of the Lord came to him to go down to the city of Nineveh and to warn those people about their wickedness, that if they did not repent, how that God was going to destroy them in their land. But Jonah instead went to Joppa to catch a boat to Tarshish. But God had a whale waiting in the water to swallow up Jonah for 3 days and for 3 nights. Now, someone may say, well, Jonah was in the will of God, but when he disobeyed, he got out of the will of God. But let me show you why that's not true. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. If Jonah had not did what Jonah did by refusing to go to Nineveh, then his stay in the belly of the whale could not represent for us the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was all in the will of God. It was all in the will of God. I'm trying to get us to see this morning that even when things go wrong, they're right. That even when it's not in the will of God, it's in the will of God. Amen. Samson was hoping to marry this woman. So they threw this big party to celebrate with his friends. And he gave out this riddle based on something that had happened to him or something that he went through on his way down to meet this woman. And he challenged them that if they could solve this riddle, if they could solve this riddle, it would determine who would get those 30 blessings. They could not solve the riddle. So they went to that woman to get the answer out of him. The woman got the answer out of Samson, gave the answer to those men, and they were able to answer the riddle. He was tricked. They answered the riddle. One of man's greatest weakness is woman. Now, I know you men got to look straight ahead this morning. Can't agree with you. You can't nod. So tonight, before you lay down on your pillow, just give me one nod, and I know what you're talking about. But he gets tricked because of his weakness. His weakness leaks, and they get the answer. And because of that, it created a great rage in Samson. A great anger in Samson. And he attacked the Philistine. Yet, all of this was in the will of God. God didn't mean for that relationship to work. But what he wanted out of that relationship was for it to move Samson into the position that God could use him in another dimension. But God couldn't get him to this position unless he go through this failed relationship, which stood to show us that the further you pull the arrow back on the bow, further out there is going to love. So don't be so uptight, all bent out of shape about some of the things that you go through. Take those things and use them to move yourself forward and get in the position where God wants you to be in the first place. Romans 8 and verse 28. The Bible says, and we know, not it might be, We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. It's an all thing work together for good to them that love God. It might not work the way you want it to work, but it works the way God wanted to work. So that God can get you to the place where he wants you to be. God is always strategizing in our lives to get us to the point where he wants us to be. So that he can use us for his purpose. You know, we were at the celebration the other night and really enjoying ourselves, having a good time. Then my wife nudged me and she had the program in her hand. She picked the program up and pointed to me. And all of that, she was pointing at the little mortgage burning that we're going to have after the worship service. And then at the end of it, it said at 11:30. And she looked at me and I said, "That ain't got nothing to do with me." I said, "Paul preached until midnight." She said, "Yeah, you preached at midnight. It ain't going to be nobody in there." I said, "Well, it may not be nobody in there, but I look out there and I expect to see you." She said, "Yeah, I'll be there, but you're going to have to look over the beach because I'm going to be laying down asleep myself." So I got to try to get out on time so my wife won't go to sleep on me and everybody. It may not work like you want it to work. But it's going to work like God wanted to work. So that he can use us for his purpose. You know, it's not just your friend that help get you there. But it's the cutthroat people as well. It's the liars as well. It's the backbiters as well. It's the people who betray you. It's the people that walk out on you. So what we all ought to do is just get us a postcard, a thank you card, and just mail it to all those folks and say, "Thank you for helping me to get where God wants me to be." Because everything that we go through, it shifts us this way and that way, and we end up in going in the direction that God wants us to go in the first place. So Samson, because he was betrayed, became very angry. And to get back at the Philistines, he went out and herded up a bunch of foxes. Herded up these foxes. And he set the tails on fire. And then sent the foxes out through the crops of the Philistines and burned up their crops and stuff. Now, that was bad for the Philistines. All their crops burned up. But it was also bad for the foxes. You know. It's all in the will of God. We don't always see it. But we must trust God. We must trust God. So Samson sent these foxes out through and burned up the crops of the Philistine. Then he took the jawbone of a donkey and he slew thousands of Philistines. And we're still talking about the will of God. He slew thousands of Philistines. Can't we see how all of these circumstances that he went through, all these things that we go through, how they work, how they help us to accomplish what the will of God is for us in our lives, how they help us understand that all of these things are ordered by the Lord, both good and the bad. designed to shape us into the person that God wants us to be and get us to the place where God wants us to be. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, the Bible had this to say. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In other words, Paul is saying, when all of these things and all of these situations come into my life, see, they teach me. I've learned how to deal with them. When I'm down, when I'm up, when I'm full, when I'm hungry, when I'm employed, when I'm not, when I'm well, when I'm sick, when the sun shines, when it rains, when the doors open, when the doors close, when some folks say to me, you'll never amount to nothing, it causes me to want to be something. When someone says to you, you'll never be a somebody, you'll always be a nobody, it makes you want to be somebody. So all of these things that we deal with all of the time and all the different attitudes from people, all of these things are supposed to serve to us as motivation to make us do what God wants us to do anyway. Is God just allowing these things to come into our life to channel us in the right direction? Samson would not have fought that hard if he had not been hurt that bad. All the things that produce all the changes in our lives are ordered by the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse number 4 says this. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. God is continually forming and reshaping our lives. And that word mar, it carries with this idea that the potter looked at that vessel that he had made and he just was not pleased with it. So he totally just deconstructed that pot. And then he reshaped it into something that he really liked. That's how God is continually working in our life. When he looks down and he sees something in our life that he's not pleased with, he just reshapes us in the way that he wants us to be. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Samson would not have fought that hard if he hadn't been hurt that bad. Look at the times in your own life. You wouldn't have fought that hard if you hadn't been hurt that bad. But it was the fact that you were hurt so bad, the reason you fought so hard. Samson ended up not getting that woman fallen in love with. And it was all the will of God. Can you see the will of God in your own life in who you didn't get? In that job you didn't get? In that house you didn't get? Sometimes it's the things that we didn't get that drives and moves us the most. Someone saying you will never be nobody drives you to be somebody. So that you can have the right passion to keep going forward in this life, God gives you the right problem to keep you motivated. What I'm trying to get us to see this morning is that you don't have to get all tore up, all out of shape when things come into your life. Because, as they say, God got this. No matter how difficult the situation is, God got this. No matter how painful things get in our life, God got this. No matter who knows or who doesn't know what you're going through, God got this. God knows everything about us. God knows what moves us where He wants us to be. God knows what it takes to get us there. And because God loves us so, He is willing to do whatever it takes to grant us this opportunity to be in the place where He wants us to be. Let me leave you with one last thought, and then the lesson will be yours. In Judges chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. Judges chapter 14, verses 4 and 5. The Bible said, "But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnah, and came to the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father or his mother what he had done." You know, I can just see that old lion there that was faced off with Samson there. And I can just imagine what was going through his mind. "Look at this fool standing before me with nothing in his hand. I have the jaw strength to bite through limbs. I can bite through his flesh and break his bones apart. He has two little hands. I got four sets of paws. And he's standing here gonna take me on." But you see, the lion was looking on the outside, but God was looking on the inside. And God gave Samson the power that he needed to tear that lion asunder. He demolished that lion with nothing in his hands. You may not have anything in your hand to fight with. You may not see the way out, but God got this. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We don't have to worry about our situations. God got this. We don't have to worry about what we're going through. God got this. All we need to do is take what God has presented to us in our lives and work it. Make the best of it. God got this. This morning, what's your relationship with God? Have you been willing to do what's necessary to be pleasing to God? Have you accepted the challenges that God has placed before you in your life and made them work for your good? Or are you going around each and every day throwing pity parties? If you're not a child of God, then it doesn't really matter anyway. The greatest need of mankind on this earth is to be a faithful child of God. If you are not a faithful child of God, then you need to be today. If you're not a child of God, you hear the word, believe it, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Christ, and then be willing to go down that water grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. If you are a child of God, but you've backslid, you put it in reverse and went totally the opposite way that God wants you to go, you need to shift gears. You need to repent of your sins and pray, ask God to forgive you, that he can place you right back in your place in his kingdom. Whatever your situation is this morning, it can be corrected if you're willing. If you're willing. So whatever your situation is this morning, as we stand and sing the invitation song, we want you to make your request known.